Would you please introduce yourself with whatever name, location, pronoun or affiliation that makes sense for this talk?
I'm an anarchist from Ukraine, Crimea before. It was annexed after the war started in 2014. I'd prefer to be called Alexander during our talk. I identify myself as a he.
Thank you, first of all, that you took time to talk with us. And can you please tell me how did you experience the 24th of February of 2022? And did you expect the invasion? And maybe it's too private, but like, what have you been feeling or thinking, planning? I don't know what kind of chaos it was.
I was woken up by a friend of mine. He called me from Kharkiv and told me, I quote, wake up, they started. I think it was around 5 a.m. I had most of my things packed up and ready just for this eventuality. And I started moving my belongings downward. A siren started calling. Basically, I was packing things up and I left for my friend's place in an uptown next to Lviv. I think in 2 hours after like the war started officially, I was outside Lviv in the cottage house, which was like planned and thought of as a safe location for me and some friends of mine. And during the day, we made several forays to stock up on gas. We had 2 cars, so we started ferrying things from Lviv and people from our immediate network to get them to safety, because I think the most disturbing thing during that day was this constant air alert siren that like went off constantly, and it was so much draining on psych because it seemed like it sounded forever. I believe it was very difficult for people to stay in Lviv, even though they never actually bombed anything on the day in Lviv. I guess probably Ukrainian military decided to play it safe and just alerts were sounded in basically every major city. So yeah, that was my February 24th. To answer the second part of your question, I think most of the people whom I was in touch with, like most of them were not anarchists, because anarchist scene is very much in disarray, in my opinion, and very shallow, unfortunately, in Ukraine. But they never like thought it was possible up until it started, really. They came up, you know, when you hear all the stories about how June 22nd, 1941 started for Russian civilians, who were so deeply in line with official Soviet propaganda, like they thought it would never happen. It was somewhat similar in Ukraine, like most people were. So they wanted to believe that this would never happen. I remember like online calls with colleagues and friends of mine, and the mood was always like Russia would never attack. If they tried attacking us, we would immediately win. We would immediately retake Crimea. Like nobody really believed and prepared. Most of my friends, the guy in Kharkiv, for example, they ended up, it took them, I think, a week or two to finally leave Kharkiv. They were never really prepared. I don't know much about the situation with my acquaintances in Kyiv, for example, with Kievan anarchists. But people had this illusion.
But if you say you were packed, have you been packed like after it was all the time said that probably the invasion will start? Or it was a feeling long before all this studies on the border started? Or...
Well, I had similar experience in Crimea, so me being an anarchist, probably I'm somewhat less prone to believe the state propaganda, and unfortunately everything that I was exposed to in Ukraine reeked of your usual propaganda, but on like somewhat less professional scale compared to Soviet times, for example. Because in Crimea in 2014, it was exactly a similar situation. Like, they were never open to civilian populace about what was going on. Ukrainian media, military service, emergency services, people who one would expect to be responsible for safety of civilians, right? They were never calling white or black. They were playing this we're all sound and safe game with people ended, for many people, it ended up in catastrophe and personal tragedies. I had this experience from 2014 when I had to basically run for my life from Peninsula because they were actively looking and rounding up pro-Maidan activists and people started disappearing. So I had no illusions about 2022 with all the border build-up. Yeah.
How it was to be a political refugee in Ukraine, or like maybe if you, I don't know if you had any status.
I never had any status because Ukrainian government after Maidan was very much engaged into pushing people out. I guess they never wanted Maidan activists to stay in the country. I know several cases where people from Belarus were captured and moved across the border, like in a forceful manner. I was subject to similar treatment, but No Borders and Amnesty International popped in. Russian NGOs that were legit back in those days tried to play their role, Memorial amongst them, and for human rights from Lev Ponomarev, and somehow it prevented SBU from playing this game with me. But I had similar treatment in 2016. They tried to deport me. Yeah. So,
can you describe the difference of the activist life in Russia and in Ukraine?
If I were to compare activism in Russia or Belarus, Ukraine, I would say, unfortunately, the Ukrainian community probably never recovered after Maidan because there was a certain blow during the street protests of the time, and I guess lots of people burnt out and were disillusioned with the outcome. Lots of my personal acquaintances, they left either immediately in 2014 or soon after, like lots of people from feminist initiatives, from ABC, Kyiv Collective of the time, they quit because they considered Maidan, they treat it as not our type of revolution. I do not share this sentiment. Ukrainian scene was very well developed, Ukrainian scene right until 2014, but then they suffered a blow they never recovered from, to be honest.
And from the perspective of like so-called political freedoms, like organizing in Ukraine and in Russia, like how much different it is, I don't know, make a demonstration.
It's like way more easier to organize in Ukraine if people wanted or had any desire to organize. I mean, especially after Maidan, and that's the reason why I disagree that it was not our revolution. I think 100% it was anti-authoritarian. It had this anti-authoritarian accent flavor to it, and we as a movement should have been more engaged into it, because after Maidan it became so much more easier to organize things in Ukraine. Like, police was really scared. They suddenly, I think the only reform that Ukrainian government managed to partially complete was police reform. And they, granted, it all went down the hill very fast, but like, still there are drastic radical changes from the way ordinary people are treated by police officers in the streets and during some interaction. This is unimaginable in Belarus or Russia. Like, when you are looking at a police patrol in Russia, in Minsk, maybe you would consider, you know, going to another side of the street or changing your route entirely to avoid them, because different things can happen simply when you pass a police patrol. But that was not the case in Ukraine, even before 2014. And after 2014, they became way more lenient, unfortunately, to both parts of political spectrum. I mean, for ultra-right, it became also like very easy and like a no-brainer to get organized. There was never any dedicated attempt to curb, to bring them under any type of control in Ukraine. So they proliferated and developed like very fast, like some cancer in Ukrainian society after Maidan. And I think that was the point of, like, the reason for lots of old school hardcore anarchists from before 2014 in Ukraine to become disillusioned. And yes, I always had this feeling that we're like fighting a losing battle in Ukraine.
let's move maybe to Europe. I see is that anarchists in Europe, it's very generalized, of course, often seem to be lost in topic of the war in Ukraine. What would you think could be an anarchist position which would make sense right now?
Maybe like my point of view will not be the most popular in Europe. I think European movement lack of involvement and lack of support in 2014. Actually, come to think of it, Ukraine was never on Western Europe agenda, like even before 2014, like some whoever heard of Ukrainian anarchist movement before. Yeah, exactly. This all boils down, I guess, to each one's personal attitude towards Maidan revolution, and if they wanted to support Ukrainian society drive to become less Soviet in the worst sense of this word, like less authoritarian, more pro-West. Yes, this is like for most Ukrainians, this sounds like liberal West. Definitely, they're not that left. I think left is somewhat of a swear word in Ukrainian political life. It's very toxic to identify oneself as lefty or anarchist. God forbid they try to whitewash Makhno history just to ignore him entirely. But the self-organizing, the networking, the, you know, the gathering of basically people who want to live decent lives, like who want to fight for freedom, for personal freedom, to lessen the state involvement in their own lives. I think this is worth supporting, and we still have this chance to influence the way Ukrainian society can develop. So I would suggest that maybe working with Ukrainian refugees would be the best option to connect and to help them in their European lives, right? Because there's huge influx of people coming from Ukraine, and they're mostly children and women, because Ukrainian government prevents males from leaving the border, because they are drafted, like there's general draft and martial law in effect. But these are the people who will be the future of Ukrainian society. So I think our best bet as like long-term cultural and left project would be to get connected with refugees and to help them, and to maybe in this very soft way influence their attitude and turn them somewhat more to the left, some social equality values, anti-authoritarian values, because I unfortunately, on average, like your average Ukrainian, probably my bet would be he's like very conservative and very orthodoxal and probably leaning towards right. And it's too late, I think, to re-educate adults, but we have this chance with children and people who are fleeing Ukraine, because they will be exposed to Western lifestyle and Western values anyway, and Germany strikes me as very way more left country comparing to Russia or Ukraine or Belarus. Yeah, it's not toxic to identify oneself as lefty in Germany. Like, people get exposed to social support, to social care, to networked initiatives. I think that's very good and very educational.
Okay, but one thing, how to deal with the general mass, let's say, of refugees, but for example, from your experience also as a person, maybe from a scene or from an activist, like when you came to Europe, what were your first needs, or what would be, what could scene or movement do here to kind of help people on their first days or weeks or months? What is the need?
Unfortunately, I believe that anarchist scene and movement is somewhat absent from the everyday life of an ordinary refugee, because one has to go like to great lengths to get in touch. It's a very strange feeling, really, because maybe the issue that there are way too many anarchists in Europe, and I was very open about me coming from the war zone, but it turned out to be very difficult to get into contact with people and to maintain this contact. Seems like, you know, this ordinary type of attitude when you are on a street rally and somebody joins the bloc and you don't really care because he's obviously an outsider. Right now, within this like attitude that I've mentioned before, right, if you want to connect to those people, to refugees, when they somehow get in touch with the community, just plain out ignoring them and treating them like some newcomer, definitely not the way to go. All those processes that are running in Poland, for example, you never see people who would identify themselves as activists of our milieu. I've traveled to and from Polish-Ukrainian border helping people who were crossing from Ukraine. There are lots of people from NGOs, right? I believe lots of people from NGOs helping refugees with translations, with work as interpreters. Those distribution centers, they connect the volunteers, but I don't think there are people who, for example, direct them to anarchist collectives. I have the feeling that the LGBTQ community, they are way more, their presence, well, one can feel and see their presence when it comes to working with refugees, like the banners everywhere, knows that if you identify yourself as LGBTQ, you can go there and you will find safe place. There will be people who will help you, they will get in touch with you. When I got into the situation, I had to do some paperwork. I got connected with people who were grassroots volunteers, but they were like ordinary Belarusian and Russian liberal oppositional members who just got self-organized into helping people, and I ended up hanging out with them and working with them. I don't feel this presence of anarchist community when it comes to working with refugees right now.
What would you think, would it be helpful to make kind of events specially oriented? I don't know, like a cinema screening with Russian or Ukrainian subtitles, or events where leftist or anarchist or whatever anti-authoritarian activists who flee from Ukraine can feel okay, we're welcome here and expected.
I've been to an event when, like, you know, this honored anarchist tradition of sitting next to you and whispering your translation in the ear. Like, I experienced this type of attitude. I've been doing things like this to people coming from other countries in Ukraine myself. So I think that's fine when it comes to, like, activists not really feeling isolated because of language problems. I think, like, local collectives can decide for themselves what's their attitude. Probably if we wanted to make space more safe and welcoming for anti-authoritarian activists fleeing Ukraine, I would go with more acceptance and tolerance. I'm sorry, this word is dubious, but yeah, probably being more open, like, now when it comes to, like, people from our community would go a long way. But probably if we wanted to get into contact with this larger Ukrainian refugee community, again, that's another kind of a problem, and I think local collectives should be better off deciding for themselves. But definitely I think it feels like our presence is absent right now. Like, you know, there's a revolution going on and anarchists failed to show up. That's how it feels right now.
Yeah, and maybe my last question is there anybody you can recommend to support who is now inside of Ukraine, and how?
Ukrainian community is very divided and has been divided even before 2014, but even more so after. So I think people should ask themselves if they can really control the flow of their help, and if the people on that end are accountable, because unfortunately we have to understand that, like, it became vogue to go out there and actually join active military units after 2014 amongst some anarchists who probably do not share anti-war sentiment at all. And in this interbellum period, it gave rise to very machist and strange attitude. You maybe remember there were some issues that spilled over into a larger anarchist world with some Belarusians who tried to influence Ukrainian events, and they were making appearances on Ukrainian events and crashing them, and this became very toxic. Well, this never, like, such attitude was still there in 2021, in 2022. There's a huge group of people who used to call them anti-fascists even before 2014 from Kyiv, and they are still present, who were engaged in racketeering and bullying and threatening people from the scene, people of more of maybe less aggressive stance when it comes to,
like, if you do educational events and stuff like this. And
yeah, I know the case with people. I'm not calling their names, but probably anybody who is familiar with the Ukrainian scene or Belarusian scene will understand. Like, there was a collective of people. They had this free bakery, basically, in Kyiv, when one could come and eat. And they were cooking food, like not the food, not bombs type in the street, but with established venue, with tables and, I don't know, an anarchist restaurant, something you imagine and you read about Greece, for example. You could eat, and if you didn't have money, you were free to go. If you thought you could share some money, you could share some money. So it was like very open to people outside community, and even Antifa collective, they used to run for Arsenal football club. They started racketeering this venue. Like, they were coming there to demand money for revolution. And people who were calling themselves La Revolta Project, for example, they were engaged in this racketeering. And it was happening in 2021. I guess they are still there and probably trying to play this machist militarist role, because they participated in military action in 2014, amongst other people. Who some of my comrades joined military and ended up in Russian, ended up being POWs, and they were released. But still, yeah. So there are really strange things going on in the Ukrainian scene, and yeah. I think people should be aware, because when you are inside this very violent context, it's very easy to become violent yourself. And, you know, there is still hierarchy, unfortunately, of action, because, like, those people were playing this rough and tumble part. Like, we are the real activists and anarchists. We do serious shit, so you should give us your money. Which is kind of, when you hear about this, this is, like, really strange.
So your recommendation is to, like, just check out stuff and then decide. But the thing is, what people who also don't speak Russian or don't have so much contacts inside of the country, they always say, I have no idea, I'm fucking lost.
Yeah, like, well, but then that's the case with our ordinary, I don't know, we walk down the street and there's a guy who begs for money. And what's the reason for us to give him money? Are we trying to establish some relations of solidarity with him? Or are we paying for our own feeling of security, and we just want to make excuse for ourselves? If that's the reason for sending help to Ukraine, maybe it's better not to. Because you never know who you're helping. Like, I know people who are outside anarchist milieu, but they have, in my opinion, a very strong stance, because they say, like, I'm not sending money to Ukraine. Because maybe you will buy weapons, maybe you will kill people, maybe you will kill some Russian friends of mine even. I don't know. So I can help, like, in the direct action way. I can go to the border, help ferry refugees, I can let them live in my apartment, I can help them, like, I think that's the way to go right now.
Maybe I didn't ask something important, or there is something you want to add?
Well, you know, there was this joke in Eastern Europe about ABC, and I think I can share this joke because I was involved with ABC in the mentioned countries, so it's like fair. Like, if you're an anarchist in Ukraine or Russia, you will get help only if you're personal friends with ABC members, and I don't think this should be the case right now.
Okay. Nice end. Yeah, thank you so much. Take care, and a lot of strength in trying to deal with the situation going on and trying to find a way in Europe to adapt and deal with this strange movement here.
Yeah, thank you for the conversation.